Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church on this first day of Lent. The announcements are in your bulletin. My name is Sandra Henderson, and I'm a member of Session. I have three announcements I need to bring to your attention. Thank you.
And Bob can turn it down a little. This one's too loud, too.
I think the last person using this mic was taller than me. To remind you to the elders, your elder packages are available in the office if you could pick them up. To remind people, March 4th is our communion and the annual meeting, so hopefully all of you will be able to attend. In your bulletin, you will see an order form from the scouts regarding maple syrup. They will be here to bring the orders next week. So if you can fill them out so that the scouts know what to bring. And Bruce has an answer.
I want to welcome this morning Helena Dixon, who is playing organ for us today. And she's got a bit of a snuffle, so he came in and said thank you very much for doing that. Directly after today's service, I won't be at the door to greet everybody because I have to head directly up to Knox Binbrook for their annual general meeting, and I'm there to moderate that. The good news is that they have in fact selected a new minister at that congregation, and so that means I'm off the hook for a while. So it's been a long haul. It hasn't been too disruptive, I have to say, in handling this, helping them through this period to find a new minister, but it is drawing to a close, and I think other than the ordination service that will be on the 25th, this will be my final sort of duty that I need to do at this congregation, and it's a lovely group of people, and I will miss them, but I won't miss the extra work. Also keep in mind that tomorrow, Family Day, the office will not be open, but we will be open as of Tuesday. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. The Spirit of God descended on Christ like a dove and brought light into the world. The candle we light this morning is the Christ light, the Christ candle, and Christ is with us in spirit in our worship today.
Our call to worship is the Lenten insert that's in your bulletin, and we will read it responsively. We live in God's safe haven, in shelter provided by God.
God is our refuge and our strength, and we trust in God.
We live with the promise that God is present when we face danger in the darkness of night or in the bright sun of midday.
God is our refuge and our strength. We trust in God.
Those who love God, God will rescue. Those who know God's name, God will protect.
God is our refuge and our strength. We trust in God.
God will satisfy us, and we will know God's salvation.
God is our refuge and our strength. We trust in God.
Let us pray. We begin the Lenten journey, trusting in you as our refuge and strength, and assure you of never-ending care in our joys and celebrations, and in times of trial and temptation. You are present with us. Everyone who calls to you for help is saved through the suffering love of Jesus. We praise and adore you. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And our first hymn, 40 Days and 40 Nights, 197.
Please be seated. God's bow hung in the clouds, which we will be reading about this morning, a unilateral disarmament in spite of our sins. The waters of the baptism of Jesus, which we will also read today, poured out as the waters poured out across the sea, across the world, when Noah sailed for 40 days and 40 nights. God remains faithful to the covenant of steadfast love, even when we are unfaithful. And without fear, we can come before God to confess our sins and be thankful. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, you made covenant with us and with every living creature. So we give thanks for the sign of the rainbow, for it reminds you and us of your promise. Promise that the flood of destruction will not be the last word. We thank you too, Lord, for the waters of baptism, the sign that we are raised as children of the covenant through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you for the sign of the dove, Lord, the promise of your Holy Spirit, hovering over the dawn of creation, descending upon your beloved Son. Your Spirit also hovers over and descends upon us. With the whole creation, we give you glory and honor. God of mercy, we begin this Lenten season in confession. This is probably the best place for us to be as we begin our 40-day journey. We do not always live according to your ways, Lord, but often more according to our own. We often, Lord, condone violence and sometimes even participate in systems of injustice, whether it be willingly or unwillingly, and use often our power to our own advantage at the expense of others. Forgive us, we pray, when we are tempted to follow paths other than those you have set before us. Teach us your commandments, Lord. Help us to turn from evil in its many guises and turn us toward your kingdom, always drawing nearer. In covenantal love, remember us, Lord, we pray, and be for us once more and always an ark of safety and new life. And Lord, we come before you now praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As Noah and his family were brought safely through the flood onto dry ground, so in these baptismal waters we are brought from death into new life in Christ. Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, forgives us, reconciles us, and all things in heaven on earth. Thanks be to God for the good news that is Jesus. Amen. Now, if you will, you've got on the back of the order form for the scouts, there are some words to a song, and I was going to get, boys and girls, you can help me, because you can read this where you're seated, and it's a song that we know, many of us, from Sunday school and days gone by, and when I was preparing the service for today, I thought, well, let's sing one of these good old Sunday school pieces that we haven't done for a long time, and on top of which, I'll get out my guitar, because I haven't had it out for a while, and give us a chance to do this. And it's the song Rise and Shine. And how many people know this song? Come on. Hands up. Yeah, you're all going to ask. I don't want to put my hand up. It's a fun song, and we're not going to sing the traditional chorus until the very end. Otherwise, well, we'll be here all morning. And although I don't mind that, I'm sure we have lots we need to get done. And it's a great song to sing. So I'll start us off. The Lord told Noah there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord told Noah there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy children of the Lord. Am I the only one singing? They don't know this one? Oh, come on, you guys have to know this one. I got a couple of you know this one. It's been around forever. Even I know it. Let's try it from the first verse again. Now you got the idea of the tune. It's the same all the way through. The Lord told Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord told Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy children of the Lord. The animals, they came in by twosies, twosies. Animals, they came in by twosies, twosies. Elephants and kangaroosies, roosies, children of the Lord. It rained and poured for 40 daisies, daisies. Rained and poured for 40 daisies, daisies. Almost drove those animals crazy, crazy, children of the Lord. The sun came out and dried up the landy, landy. Sun came out and dried up the landy, landy. Everything was fine and dandy, dandy, children of the Lord. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. Do the last verse again. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise, shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. And those that do know this one, there's all kinds of hand things we could do, but maybe we'll teach that to you another time. When I'm more energetic anyway, because you got to rise, you got to shine, you got to give God the glory, and we'll work on that later. Boys and girls, I do have a story for you today, and I wanted you to come up, and we'll talk about that. So come out here, the few of you that are here today. Talking about plays on words, like we had in there, landy, landy, and kangaroos, and all that sort of stuff. Also about signs, and signs tell us things, don't they? What kinds of things do signs tell us? Okay, yep. Stop signs tell you to stop, that's right. And I have a bunch of signs just like that. In fact, let's just see. What's this one? What's this one say? Yeah. Go. Well, you can go, but it's you got to keep right, and you're going. Folks, there's the sign there, keep right. So it's a... Yeah, well, you want to keep right, you don't want to stay on the left side of the road, and if you didn't follow the sign, you might hit another car coming either way. I have another one. What's this one? One way. You can only go this way. This way, if I pointed at you, but this way on this sign. One way. There's only one way on this street. So going this way would be the wrong way, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's see what other signs we have here. See if you can figure the next one out. Any idea what that sign means? Yeah. Yeah, no U-turn. Don't turn around on the street. Boy, he's sharp. Not even any words on that one, and he got that one. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, that's one way we show that sign. The other one is this one. It says no U-turn. You can't turn around. Yep. Yeah, don't turn. Don't no U-turn. No U-turn, folks, with words. Yeah, now the next one, what does this one mean? Not just turn, yeah? Turn around. Turn around. You can make a U-turn. There it is there, U-turn permitted. And there's a word that we use in the Bible. We used it this morning when we were praying, and the word was repent. And repent really means U-turn. It means to turn around completely. Not just a little bit, but completely the other direction. So when we say, Lord, I want to repent, it means I'm going this way, and I saw the sign, and I turned around and went back another way. That's what we want to remember about the word repent. It's turn around, and God permits us to make a U-turn because he loves us and wants us to be with him always. We're making a U-turn from behaving the way we want to behave so we can behave the way God wants us to behave. Sometimes when we're thinking of only ourselves, that's not always thinking of God. So God says, guess what? You can turn around and change your life and go in a completely different direction. That's a good thing. Let's have a little prayer about that, boys and girls. Come on. Bow our heads. Lord, thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. And thank you for all the grown-ups that are here today, too. We ask that we can understand the word repent and that we can understand it means to completely turn and change the direction that we were going. And we can do this with your help, Jesus. And we thank you and pray in your name. Amen. Boys and girls. And normally we would sing, but I've done it all. We're not doing it again. We're just going to move on to scriptures now. Thanks, boys and girls. Thank you, Denise. I've set it up with Denise to the boys and girls are going to come back and help us with collection this morning, and they'll be back for that part of it, but they'll leaving for just a small part of the service. We are going to be looking at God's Word, and as we do, I'd ask that we just take a moment and bow our heads to invite God's Spirit to open our eyes. Gracious God, in rushing waters and in dry wilderness both, in every season and every circumstance, we need your sustaining word. And so, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you proclaim that good news amongst us today so that we can repent, change our direction, believe and see anew how the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Open our ears spiritually, Lord, and our hearts. In Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Our response to Psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. And the love of learning is central to making progress along God's path, and Psalm 25 really does make that plain. Psalm 25 is another one of those acrostic psalms that I've talked about, where each verse starts with a different letter of the alphabet in Hebrew, and a way to emphasize the importance, maybe a way to help memorize the psalm, maybe. But almost literally, we could say this psalm covers everything from A to Z because of every letter that is covered. God has been asked and pleaded with to teach me your ways, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth. This psalm is a prayer in many ways, asking God to be with us always and show us where we need to change and turn around, change direction, using those signs where we need to turn right, where we need to turn left. And we can learn that through the Bible and through Scripture. Psalm 25.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, be
do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O God. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Oh. Sorry. maybe I'll try verse 6 now. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep God's covenant and decrees.
Thank you. If you haven't been taking note, I want you to be taking note from now on. The number of times when we read through Psalms, the two-word phrase, steadfast love. That is a reminder throughout almost all the Psalms that God's love is never ending. And it's the Hebrew word that I've told you before, chesed. And chesed is steadfast love of God, is with us at all times. And it's a good theme that comes through there. Now, I'm going to be reading, the Old Testament is Genesis 9, 8 to 17, and I'm going to be reading not from the NRSV. I don't want you to open your Bibles. What I want you to do, I'm going to be reading from a translation called The Message, and I want you, and I'm doing that because the wording is very different. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation, in fact. And I want you to absorb the story, because the story that we're going to read is one that we're very familiar with, as we'll see in the sermon. And it's the story of Noah, the end part of the story of Noah. And I want you to just kind of listen to the wording that's here and absorb what's going on and understand maybe from a different perspective than we normally would do on a Sunday morning. So this is from the interpretation called The Message, and I'm reading Genesis 9, beginning at verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons. I'm setting up my covenant with you, including your children who will come after you, along with everything alive around you, birds, farm animals, wild animals, things that came out of the ship with you. I'm setting up my covenant with you that never again will everything living be destroyed by floodwaters. No, never again will a flood destroy the earth. God continued. This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and everything living around you and everyone living after you. I'm putting my rainbow in the clouds, a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. From now on, when I form a cloud over the earth and the rainbow appears in the cloud, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and every living thing, that never again will floodwaters destroy all life. When the rainbow appears in the cloud, I'll see it and remember the eternal covenant between God and every living thing, every last living creature on earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I've set up between me and every living thing on the earth. Our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter is addressing quite a large number of people. It opens up by saying in this letter that he's written to the exiles of the dispersion, he's talking about people all across Asia Minor. And it's a great reading for us at Lent because it's explaining a number of things about what Christ has done for us when we get to the other end of Lent. And again, I'm going to read from The Message because, again, the wording is just a little bit different and I want us to absorb that as well, keeping in mind something very important that takes place when the way Peter is wording. Christ died on the cross and he went somewhere. He didn't just die and then come back to life 3 days later. He went somewhere during that 3 days. Peter's explaining a little bit of that. 1 Peter 3, beginning at verse 18. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins. The righteous one for the unrighteous one. He went through it all. Was put to death and then made alive to bring us to God. He went and proclaimed God's salvation to earlier generations who ended up in the prison of judgment because they wouldn't listen. You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved then, 8 to be exact, saved from the water by the water. The waters of baptism do that for you. Not by washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone. From angels to armies, he's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. And again, I'm going to read that from The Message. And this is a common story. Again, that's why I'm reading it from a different translation or interpretation this morning, because I want us to hear this story maybe a little differently than we normally hear it. It's when Jesus steps into the rivers of the Jordan and he's baptized by John and something miraculous happens. Beginning at verse 9. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, came down on him. Along with the Spirit, a voice. "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." At once, this same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wilderness. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by Satan. Wild animals were his companions, and angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the message of God. "Time's up! God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." This is the word of God. Join now together in our next hymn, "Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult," number 672. Please be seated. Now, I have to say that in preparing for the message today, I really struggled with this particular lectionary section, and we're beginning Lent. The lectionary reading today, the four readings are there. Each one of those readings could be a complete study almost on their own. There's a lot in contained statements being made in that Psalm 25 and in Genesis 9 and 1 Peter 3 and in Mark 1. And there is a solid link between all of them, and we'll look at some of that. But one of the things that struck me was something I had done in a study many years ago on the section in Genesis 9. And it had to do with a particular word. And then that got me off, on a train of thought about words, and got me thinking about how we take it for granted, because most everybody in this room, with the exception of a few, and I know there are a few, English is our first and primary language. And so learning English, we just did that. But for folks where English was a second language, and again, I know there's a few of you around, it was kind of complicated to learn like any language. And I found 22 reasons, I'm not going to read them all, but 22 reasons why English is hard to learn. And these are statements, and it's better if you see them printed, but I'll work on it and see if you can follow along. The bandage was wound around the wound. Now, what's complicated about that? The word there is W-O-U-N-D. It's the same spelling, but different pronunciation and clearly a different meaning. The farm used to produce produce. Again, spelled the same, but completely different. We must polish the Polish furniture. Could be very confusing. If he could lead, he could get the lead out. The soldier decided to desert his dessert in the desert. Yeah. A bass was painted on the head of a bass drum. The seamstress and a sewer fell down into a sewer line. The buck does funny things when does are present. And think about how that word's spelt too. The wind was too strong to wind the sail. Upon seeing a tear in a painting, I shed a tear. And lastly, how can I intimate this to my most intimate friend? Words can be difficult. And it's not just English where that's found. There's poetry that I've found doing the same thing in Korean and in French and in German and Italian. All languages have these homonyms and that are around and make it difficult sometimes to understand what we mean. Where I'm going with that is the word bow, bow, and rainbow. And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's bow our heads. Lord, in the book of Exodus, you said to Moses, who is it that gives speech to mortals? Is it not I, the Lord? Please, Lord, as you promised Moses, bless these words this morning spoken and bless all the ears of those who hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're beginning Lent, and I've wore my special Lent stole with the purple and green on it, and the colors we have, lots of things surround the symbology around Lent. Lent actually is an old word from Old English and Germanic sources, meaning springtime. But Lent is also got a long word. I'm going to try and say this one in Latin, the quadragesima, which means 40. So 40 days. And 40 is a key number, as we'll see in the scripture. It comes up all the time. And but I also wanted, before we talk more about Lent, I wanted to get a timeline of people clear for everybody, because it wasn't even clear for me exactly. I'll admit that. I got thinking about Noah, and when did Noah live relative to, like, maybe Abraham and all these people? So here's the short list. First, there was Adam, then a bunch of people. Then came Noah, who received a covenant, a bunch of people. Then Abraham, a bunch more people. Jacob, then Joseph. We all know Joseph with the technicolor dream coat. And after Joseph came Moses. What's important to remember is Noah existed before the covenant was given to Abraham. Noah existed before God had picked his chosen people to represent him on this earth. Noah lived at a time when all people presumably knew God. And at the end of the story of Noah, God sets up a new set of covenants and a new set of laws. And if you, I want to challenge you on two folds this week. I want you to read the story of Noah, Genesis 6 through 9. And I want you to see what you're going to find, because it's not going to be this version that we see in Sunday school. See? The nice little picture, you know, cartoons with animals going in. And we see two of every animal in this picture. Read the scripture to see what you find in there. We're not going to see just that it not only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, something else happened during that time. But that's our Sunday school version, right? And then lastly, we have this, the ending with, there's our rainbow in the picture. Sorry, folks, there you go. All right, that's the Sunday school version, and there's nothing wrong with the Sunday school version because it covers the main points. But we're not in Sunday school. At least I don't think we are. We're not in Sunday school. There's a lot more to the story of Noah, but we don't go back and read it very often because we think we already know the story, because I just showed you the cartoons. It's the same when I tell you the story of Jonah. You think you know the story of Jonah? Read the four chapters involved. There's lots in there that you probably missed, because what we recall is the Sunday school lesson. And nothing wrong with the lesson, but it's covering the main points for the kids. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Noah existed in a time when everybody was living for God. Although, as it says in Genesis 6, God saw, and I'm reading from the message again, God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil. Evil, evil, evil from morning to night. God was sorry that he made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation, make a clean sweep. People, animals, snakes, bugs, birds, the works, I'm sorry I made them. But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. This is the story of Noah. Noah was a good man, a man of integrity in his community. Noah walked with God, and he was one of the few. And as we read in our scripture readings this morning, in Mark in particular, eight people survived. Something else that often gets missed in the Sunday school version of Noah. Who closed the door on the ark? Anyone? Who closed the door? Noah didn't close the door of the ark. Genesis 7, verse 16. After everybody got on board, then God shut the door behind him. Noah didn't pull the door shut. God shut it. Different from Sunday school. God's Spirit intervened in this particular case and said, I'm shutting you into a safe place. Lent is going to be that for us. When Jesus was standing in the rivers of the Jordan, why did he go into the wilderness? I read that to you this morning. Why did Jesus go into the wilderness? It says clearly in Mark 1, chapter, verse 12, at once, so after the Spirit descended in a dove, at once this same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wilderness. It's God's Spirit at hand. Jesus didn't get in his mind, you know what, I think I'm going to walk around in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was standing on the edge of the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God pushed him, drove him, as in some translations, drove him into the wilderness. God shut the door on the ark. God drove Jesus into the wilderness. That's a pretty active God. And then when we read in 1 Peter, after Jesus died on the cross, he went somewhere. Jesus went and proclaimed God's salvation to earlier generations who ended up in the prison of judgment because they wouldn't listen. Peter's talking about something I've told you about here when we read sometimes about Gehenna. We read about Gehenna sometimes in the Psalms. Jesus went to the place of the dead. And as the story goes, for other scriptures built with this, he took the keys of death. He took the keys from this place called the prison of judgment. And he owns them now, and that's why Peter says it after that, that Jesus has the last word on everyone and everything. From angels to armies, he's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. He conquered death. No longer do we just go to the dead place by default. Jesus has control. I struggled with all of this because there's so much involved in the stories that we think we already know. Jesus was pushed into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And it was hard work. It was a time of introspection. And it was a time of testing. Lent for us is what that means, is what that represents. Lent for us is a 40-day journey from today, Ash Wednesday specifically, until we reach Easter Sunday. A time for us to be tested. And so how that's worked out in the past is people have taken on and said, well, I'm going to not eat chocolate for the 40 days, or I'm going to give up something that I find pleasurable for 40 days so I can maybe experience that sort of withdrawal into the wilderness that Jesus experienced as well, and that God can work deeply in my heart. And to even further that, the time that I would normally spend in this indulgence, whatever it may be, I'm going to spend in prayer and in Bible study and focusing on God. And we've lost, again, as I spoke last week, we've lost the meaning behind this. We've got caught up in the rules. You're supposed to give up something for Lent. That's what you do. You give up something for Lent. And we forgot the why of what we were doing. We forgot the why of the 40 days of withdrawal. God is closing the door for us And in our waters of baptism, just like the waters that flooded, it says the waters saved Moses, or saved Noah, and at the same time God's judgment was there. We're floating around during Lent in a safe little bubble. And it's time for us to do as Jesus did in those 40 days and think about our relationship with God and our relationship with God's people and our relationship with the world at large. It's not just giving up something for 40 days. I also want to comment, because I started out saying about words, bow and bow and rainbow. The message that I read, the translation I read this morning, said that God set his rainbow in the sky. And that's what we see in our Sunday school version. I showed you that already. That's the rainbow there. God set his rainbow in the sky. And we can see the rainbow. 2 points about that. In the NRSV, in your pew Bibles, doesn't say rainbow. It says bow. God set his bow in the sky. And the word in Hebrew is bow. A bow of war. God took that bow. He was angry, clearly, at the world. Angry with himself. And he took the bow, the symbol of the bow, the war bow, and put it in the sky. What did he do that for? To remind who? Whom? To remind who that this would never happen again? Not us. It was there to remind God that he would never do this again. We see it, and we've got that reminder. God himself said, I put the bow to remind me I'm never going to do this again. The cross for us is the same kind of symbol. It's a reminder not only to us, but it's a reminder to God that his son was sent to this earth to die for our sins, to conquer death, to bring us back into relationship with God. And it's through that cross that that's made a reality. Lent, 40 days, giving up things, spending time in prayer, all of these are important. But the 40, and 40 clearly is a key number. It gets repeated all through the scripture. And again, that's why I say you could do a whole study on how many times 40 is referenced and then what the implications are. Key to the readings that we've had today, key to our Lenten journey, God is closing the door for us to withdraw. The Spirit is pushing us out into the wild for us to be separated from civilization, if you like, and daily life into what we can now spend some time thinking about that symbol and that promise that God has for all of us. The 40 days of Lent, and Lent itself, is for us to draw closer to God by moving away into a special place. God's promise is in the sky in the form of a bow. God's promise is also seen in the cross. And Lent is a time for introspection in our lives. God is there with us the whole time, walking with us, talking with us, just as those angels took care of Jesus. Lent is a time for us to pull in a little bit and reflect. How am I in relation to God? How am I doing in relation to God? What am I doing with my life? Where is prayer? Where is scripture reading? Where is my relationship with others? Just asking the questions and then listening. Key point, by the way, just a sidebar. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. How long were they in the boat? 150 days. They floated around for 150 days, just over a year. And again, we forget that part because in Sunday school they just talk about it raining for 40 days and 40 nights. And then how did they get out? God opened the door as well at the other end of the story. But I want you to read that story because there's two versions contained within that section of, from Genesis 6 to 9. And if you read Genesis 1 and 2, you're going to find two versions of the creation story. Bet you didn't know that was there. Go home this week and read those. I'd love to sit and chat with you about that. There's a reason they're there, and they're very different from each other, and I bet you didn't know that as well. Lots of trivia today. Lots of stuff to challenge and take away. And that's what Lent's for. So we can do things like this and sit down and read scriptures that we think we're very familiar with and see what God has for us in those things and see what kind of surprises may come out. That when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he began his ministry and was ready to go. When Noah came out of the ark, the world was ready to go and Noah led the way, all the way down to the point where we have that promise and the covenant given to Abraham and that we live through Christ. This is a time of Lent, a time of prayer, and a time to be set apart. God bless you. Amen. Because we believe that in Christ Jesus, God's time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near, we respond weekly with a tangible sort of thing that we do by doing acts of justice and compassion and by sharing the gospel with our friends and family and even strangers at times, but also sharing our resources. By doing all this, we bear witness to the good news of the gospel. Now is the time to present our offerings and tithes in gratitude to God. Come back, you can help carry the plates up, okay? All right? Thanks, guys. I did drop it, so I don't know if that's done something. We'll talk in this one for now. W.C. Fields said, never work with kids or equipment. I think I'm going to add that to the list. Kids, animals, and props, I guess. This morning, I want to do something just a little bit different, and I am going to get the handheld. I'm going to get the handheld here because I'm going to be walking around a little bit. But before I do that, I'm going to ask before we begin our prayer If there's any first names of anybody that you want offered and included in today's prayer, and I'm going to actually write that person's name down, and I'll give you that opportunity now to shout some names out. Charlotte, did I hear? Okay. James. Jane, okay. Mary Lou, I have. Kate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got quite a long list, as you can see, because I've already pre-listed some names on here. And what we're going to do this morning as we gather in prayer, something just symbolic, something to begin our Lenten journey. I've got these names on this piece of paper. They represent the names and needs of many people, and I know you have others in your mind. And we talked about the cleansing waters of the Jordan when Jesus went for his baptism. Jesus stepped into the river Jordan, where centuries and thousands of years it had been held that that was a river of healing, a place where prayer could be answered, a place where the water parted twice. And you'll find that one in the Bible too. The rivers of the Jordan parted twice on two different occasions. We read about one of them last week. I'm going to take this list of names, and as we pray, I'm going to place them in this water of baptism, this symbolic river Jordan. And we're going to trust that God will work in the lives listed here and in the lives that we pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the names that have been offered on this list, and it's an extensive list, and there's a lot of names on here. Some have been mentioned, some I already knew about, some that can't be mentioned out loud necessarily. And we also know that as we take this time, some names maybe didn't make it onto the list, that some people out there still might have a name or two. We're going to think of those names, Lord. And as we dip this in the water, the baptismal water, we're dipping those names that are in our minds as well. Lord, like the River Jordan, where people stepped, and Jesus included, to be healed, and place these names in the waters of our baptism, trusting, Lord, that your Spirit will intervene in their lives, that the healing waters that will overwhelm them, take part in their life, and do the miracle of healing that's needed. Lord, we take a moment in silence, and we think of other names that we want added symbolically to this water. We do that now. Lord, we thank you that in this period of Lent, there are many symbols and acts that take place that remind us of the cross and the bow in the sky and the time that you have for us. And this is a symbol. This is just water in a bowl. But for us this morning, symbolically, it's the healing waters of our baptism, the healing waters of the River Jordan. And there is so much need in our congregation right now, Lord. People who are ill, people that we know that may not be directly involved in the congregation, but maybe family members or friends of people in this congregation, and they need this healing. And Lord, this symbol and this act of faith we hold before you, and ask, Lord, again, intervene and wash them clean. Be with them in whatever it may be. Lord, we do this because we have the symbol of the cross to remind you and us of your steadfast love and of Christ conquering death. And it is said in Scripture, everything answers to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Join together now in our final hymn, number 569. O Jesus, I have promised. family of God, as Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, so we will spend 40 days in this season of Lent. Consider, children of the covenant, the faithfulness of God and what it means to be baptized into Christ. Let us live each day proclaiming the good news in word and deed that God is with us and the kingdom is near. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.